Y'all turn in your Bibles, if you will, this morning. Try not to be long. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter. We're going to be back in 1 Peter this morning. Last week, if you were not here and did not get to listen to the podcast, I encourage you to listen to the podcast. Felt like the Lord released a really, really good word into the house. We started talking about the season of incarnation and the inheritance of the Father, but we wound up really hanging our hat on hidden manna and a white stone. And just such good stuff. In continuing with that, I want to talk about today on how we live our lives. And it's the theme that everything that we sang about, the theme of what James spoke about, the so will I. How do we live this? How do we walk this out in light of these ridiculous blessings, in light of the way that God has come in and poured himself out upon us and into us, allowed us to come in and to lay hold of his nature and his goodness. I finished last week telling a story, and I'm going to open up with the same story because I think it really sets the tone of where we want to launch out from this morning. Last Saturday, Ariel went deer hunting, and she carried my youngest granddaughter with her, Kennedy. And if you know KK, you know KK is she's quite the little personality. And I think it was Kennedy's first hunting trip, wasn't it, Lori? It was her first deer hunting trip. And carried her. I texted Ariel and I said, "Hey, y'all seeing anything?" And Ariel's like, "Are you kidding? With the mouth of the South in the stand with me?" But they wound up just right before dark. They wound some deer came out, and Ariel shot one and killed one. And so, when they got down out of the stand and all that, KK, she wanted to FaceTime Poppy and tell Poppy about it and all of that stuff. And she FaceTimed me, and she said, "We killed a deer, Poppy." And I'm like, "That's awesome," and all of this stuff. You know, "That's great. Y'all the bomb," and everything. And then as soon as she got through FaceTiming me, she wanted to FaceTime Gigi, and she FaceTimed Gigi, and she FaceTimed Lori, and she said, "I killed a deer, Gigi." So her story went from "my mama killed a deer" to "we killed a deer" to "I killed a deer." In her mind, it went from "my mama killed a deer" to "we killed a deer" to "I killed a deer." And in Ariel's love for her daughter and their union, that was the way the story was. And to me, when I reflected on that later on that night, to me it was such a beautiful picture of the gospel pertaining to our lives. KK wasn't, she's four, she wasn't big enough to carry a gun, she wasn't big enough to pull the trigger, she wasn't big enough to aim straight, she wasn't big enough to do anything, but at the end of the story, she killed a deer. And Brad, in my life, I wasn't big enough to carry a gun, I wasn't big enough to pull a trigger, and I certainly couldn't aim straight, but in the end, I killed a deer. And the Father allowed me to not only bask in and enjoy his glory, but through my union with him, he allowed me to place ownership in this same thing. And last week we looked at 1 Peter, and he began to come in chapter 1. And I'm going to reread just a few verses very quickly, but we're going to go to chapter 4. Just the way this thing builds. Think about the author of this. You're looking at Peter. The apostle that was famous for many things and was so marvelous in many things. I love Peter. I can relate to Peter. Peter screwed up big time a lot. But yet also Peter had big time faith And he had big time trust, and he had big time confidence, and he had big time confidence not in himself, but confidence in Jesus. And Jesus' mercy, and Jesus' grace, and Jesus' forgiveness, and Jesus being the Messiah. I love, perhaps more than anything else, I love the statement that Jesus comes to his disciples after everybody's leaving, and because he's talking about eating flesh and drinking blood, and nobody can wrap their head around that. And it so messes with the crowd. It so messes with the casual believers that were following him. To a Jew to come in and say to drink blood and all of this, and he comes in and he looks at the Exodus was so great. He looked at the disciples and said, "Are you going to leave also?" And I love Peter's response. To me, it says so much about who he was. He said, "Lord, where would we go? You alone have the words to life eternal." And it seems like our culture today and the church today and the everything that's going on with the climate in the midst of the COVID and all of this stuff, the society and the American church, a big portion of the American church, it seems that we're wanting to depart from all of these truths that are so real and so significant in our life, and they're the cornerstone of our faith. They're the cornerstone of who we are and all of this. And I'll be honest with you, I don't have anywhere else to go because there is nowhere else to go. There is nowhere else to go in my life. It's Jesus Christ and Him crucified and Him resurrected in my stead for me. And then Him allowing me to come in and say, "I killed a deer. In my infancy, in my weakness." And this is marvelous grace, guys. And that's what we have to hold to. That's what we have to not only cling to in a place of desperation. I've moved beyond that, and it's not a thing that I'm just clinging, you know, hanging on and saying it's, you know, something's going to happen someday. I'm building my life on that. We're building our life on that. I hope we're building our lives on that, Brett. And the world doesn't get it. You know, last Sunday we were talking in Revelations chapter 2, and he says that if you're victorious, he says, "I will give you this hidden man." And we talked about hidden man a lot last week. But he also said, "I'll come in and I'll give you a white stone, and it's going to have a new name on it." And he said, "It's going to have a name on it that the world doesn't know. Only you know this name." And the world doesn't understand us. The world thinks we're nuts. The world thinks that we're antiquated. They think all of these things. But I know the name that he wrote on the white stone that he gave me. I understand beloved identity. And that's what he wrote on mine, beloved and blessed. And it's because he's allowed me to come in through union with him and to place ownership on something that I should have no right to lay ownership to. Because I haven't earned it. I haven't deserved it. 30 years of ministry hasn't earned it. Preaching week in and week out hasn't earned it. Giving and tithing and all of that hasn't earned it. It's just simply the fact that he loves me so much. He said, "Man, you killed a deer, didn't you?" I say, "Yeah, I did, Papa." And though I can't even pick up the gun. He said, "Look what you did. Look what you have in me. Look who you are in me." And it so messes with me right now. And this so messes with me right now in this season of incarnation. And Peter comes in last week and we talked about, look at this. He says, "Celebrate with praises the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has shown us his extravagant mercy." I love that, extravagant mercy. "For his fountain of mercy has given us a new life. We are reborn to experience a living, energetic hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We are reborn into a perfect inheritance that can never perish, never be defiled, and never diminish. It is promised and preserved forever in the heavenly realm for you." I love that. And that was our launching point last week. Is that there are things that are hidden for us. There are things that are established for us. There are things that are in reserve for us. In reserve for us. I didn't read this last week. But he comes in chapter 2. And he says, but you are God's chosen treasure, priests who are kings, a spiritual nation, set apart as God's devoted ones. He called you out of darkness to experience his marvelous light, and now he claims you as his very own. He did this so that you would broadcast his glorious wonders throughout the world. I like this. He did this. This was his intent. As he did this, he said he did this so that you would broadcast his glorious wonders throughout the world. For at one time you were not God's people, but now you are. At one time you knew nothing of God's mercy because you hadn't received it yet, but now you are drenched with it. So we look at that and we glory in that and we say yes. And we say that's awesome. That's tremendous. I love that. And that fills me with great joy and hope and peace and all these things concerning my life. I celebrate that as he wants me to. I love Bill Johnson. He, in so many ways, and we'll throw out a Bill Johnson quote every week and rightfully so. He says, never apologize for your blessings because they come from Abba. So I don't apologize for any of these blessings. I don't apologize for any of this goodness. I don't apologize for any of this unmerited favor. I don't apologize for any of this fountain of grace. You know, you think about a fountain. I think about man-made fountains, and they recirculate. But I think about a true fountain, and it's a spring that comes up, comes forth. And he said, this mercy is a fountain that springs forth. And so we bask in that. We build our lives in that. But then I think we also must come in and ask ourselves, so now in light of this, in light of all of these things, in light of these blessings, in the light of these things that make me stand up here and weep before people and before a YouTube that's never going to go away and all of this stuff, you know, that makes me stand and weep before all of this. In light of that, the question now comes up is, so how do we live our lives? So what do we do with that? What do we do with that, Brett? The Word asks a question. It says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? What do we do with this glorious gospel that's been given us? The Apostle Peter comes in and he's building on who we are in Christ and his amazing love, his amazing mercy, the incarnate, and the season that we're in right now, that God came for us, God loves us, and all of this. And I'll go back to the Margaret Thatcher quote that I brought up. Nick, you liked that, didn't I? I threw out a Margaret Thatcher quote. I don't know if she knew Jesus or not, but she was PM for a long time in Britain. And she said, no one would have ever remembered the Good Samaritan if he only had good intentions. And so I'm here to say today, I'm here to provoke thought in you today. I'm here to hopefully activate something in you, is that God has given us more than just good intentions. He's given us means. He's given us means. He's given us substance. And I'm not talking about dollars, although it can look like that. But he's given us substance. And with this substance, we talk about all of these great things. We talk about this ownership. We talk about we're God's chosen treasure. We're priests who are kings, spiritual nation, and all of this stuff that we want to, and rightfully so. I want our kids to grow up knowing that, but I also want them to come in on the heels of that, knowing that I have been giving all of this stuff. Now, how will I live this and walk this out? What will I do with this? To me, the incarnation is... There's a twofoldness to the incarnation, and I don't mean to simplify it to only these two things. But the incarnation was Christ coming, the Messiah, coming to become man, to pay our sin debt, to die on Calvary's cross. To overcome death, hell, and the grave, so that we could do likewise. We get that. We jump up and down on that. We say yes. Then we come in our preacher terms, and I have done this before and spoken on this before, is Christ came to, you know, I've always argue and say, if that was all he did, then why did he come as a babe? He could have come as a man and done the exact same thing and died on the cross and conquered death, hell, and the grave and taken the keys and done all these things. But he didn't do that. He came as a little babe. And he walked this out for 30-something years. And I've always said that man, he did this to show us how to live, to show the disciples how to live, to show us how to live. And there is a basic element of truth to that. But I think the real reason that he did this was he came to show us the true nature of the Father. He came to show us the nature of the Father. He came to show us who Yahweh was and how Yahweh was. Bill Johnson once again says, Jesus Christ is perfect theology. Jesus declared this in the Gospels. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He is the express image of Yahweh. And so as Jesus comes and he is the incarnate, it's as Yahweh is here, as Abba is here, and he's walking among us and he's showing us how to live. I love what James said earlier, that Jesus didn't gain anything as far as glory, splendor, anything like that. He didn't gain crowns. The word said for the joy that was set before him, and you know what that was union with us. So in that sense, he gained it, but he didn't elevate his status. The word said that Jesus was able to face the cross, walk that out, endure the cross, overcome the cross, because the word says because he knew where he came from and he knew where he was returning to. In other words, he knew what his white stone said about him. There was never a moment where if I do this, then I will perfect myself. If I will do this, then I will add a crown or add a level or add a layer or anything like that. He said, I simply come and do this because I want to reveal who I am, who the Father is, who the Holy Spirit is. And so as I begin to look at it in that light, I look at the nature of Christ and I look at what all Christ did and the heart of Christ and all of that, and he said that as we take on a new nature, we become new creatures in Christ Jesus, then what are we to look like? What are we to be like? You know, Jesus. We're to look like him. We're to sound like him. We're to walk like him. We're to do these things. And if you can pull Jesus out of this and put we should be like Abba, because Abba, Jesus is perfect theology, and Abba looks like Jesus. And so as I walk on this planet and I do these things, I'm not filled with just good intentions. I am filled with the nature and the character and the heart of God. So the things that Jesus did, the things that Jesus walked out, the things that Jesus not only taught us but lived before us, that is the nature that I am to have and I'm to walk this out in. And so it goes with what James was saying a while ago. You notice I picked up a mic and started to say something, and James started talking, and James was saying the exact same thing that I was going to say. He said, James, you were saying the exact same thing. That's why I just put my mic down. I'm like, I don't need to speak. Because he's saying, so will I. If you, so will I. And so I want us to ask ourselves, how we, in light of this amazing grace, in light of this amazing mercy, in light of this amazing blessing in our life, then how do we walk our lives out and how do we live our lives out? I see Peter progressing, and the reason the Lord's had me in 1 Peter the last few weeks, I see Peter progressing in his letter. It was to a dispersed church. It was to a church that times were very difficult because of their faith. They were persecuted. To many, it looked like the end of times. You know, this. Oh my gosh, things are winding down. It's so terrible. Jesus is about to come back. It's nothing new. They thought it in 65 A.D. when Nero was on the throne. They thought it in 70 A.D. when Jerusalem was destroyed. They thought it, actually Nero was a little bit later than the 60. But they thought these things. They thought it during the First World War. They thought it during the Second World War. And now we've reduced it to the thing of we think it's all winding down. I remember all the different people that were supposed to be the Antichrist in just my lifetime. I remember one time the Pope was the Antichrist. I'm serious. I mean, in mainstream Christianity, he's the Antichrist. And then when Obama got elected, everybody was talking about Obama was the Antichrist. And so we come in this backwash of, wow, it's really bad and it's really terrible and the end has got to be near. And God says, man, I send you into this time looking like me and sounding like me and smelling like me and with the resources of me, with the substance of me, into this world to be light, to be me. And so I don't wring my hands on what's next. I don't shrink back from economic ruin. I don't approach life thinking, oh my gosh, it's gonna be disastrous. I invested money in the stock market this week, Nick. If you'd asked me 6 months ago if Trump doesn't get elected and Biden gets elected, you're gonna put money, I'd be like, no, I'll wait for it to crash and then I'll put money in and all that stuff. But I've got an amazing confidence and stillness in the fact that Yahweh's in the throne. He's on the throne, and there are these promises that are in our lives. There are these promises, these hopes, and these treasures, these hidden manna, this inheritance that is reserved for us. And it's not just reserved for me. It's not just reserved for my people, but it's reserved for my children. It's reserved for my grandchildren. And we can look and say, oh, that's great. You got all that stuff. I want to tell you guys, man, there's hidden or reserved. I like the word reserved even better. There's reserved inheritance that God's got to set aside for you two girls. And it doesn't matter what's swirling around you. It matters what's alive within you. Because what's alive within us is what he wants us to release into what is swirling around us. And so he comes in the midst of this. I hope I painted a bit of a backdrop for what Peter was talking about in 1 Peter. He comes in and he says, because of all these things, I actually like the wording in verse 7. He said, since we're approaching the end of all things, since we are approaching the end of all things, I don't know if Peter felt like it was winding down or if he was just writing to the mood and the people in the church now that, man, you guys are going through ridiculous persecution. This is bad and all of that stuff. So maybe in your minds, but since you think the end is near, be intentional, purposeful, and self-control so that you can be given to prayer. I like that. Be intentional, purposeful, and self-control so that you can be given to prayer. I've always said that we should live, I try to live a life of intentionality. Everything that we do, we there should be a, every step, there should be a purpose in that. There's not wasted space and wasted time and wasted movement and wasted energy. But every nuance and movement in our life is intentional. And so he tells them, he said, you be intentional, you be purposeful and self-control so that you can be given to prayer. Then in verse 8 he says, but above all, constantly echo God's intense love for one another. So how do we live this life? What do we do with this life? What do we do with this amazing grace that I've been given? What do we do with this incarnate? As God gave us the example of what Yahweh, who Yahweh was in Jesus coming, he said, echo God's intense love for one another. For love will be a canopy over a multitude of sins. Constantly echo God's intense love for one another. He said, be compassionate to foreigners without complaining. That doesn't mean love the French. Them too. But a foreigner is anyone that's, we can look at a lot of different levels. It could be someone outside the faith. It could be someone outside my realm of experience with God. in a sense, my children are foreigners to the history that Lori and I have with God, because they have just begun their history with God. So in a sense, they're foreigners to that. So it said, you come in and you be compassionate to foreigners without complaining. Be compassionate to those that are outside, the unbelievers, somebody outside the faith family, somebody that's operating outside your belief system. That the most intolerant place that I have had in my life that I really had to work on and ask God to forgive me and all of that stuff I'm not prejudiced as far as ethnicity, but I find myself being prejudiced toward people that are of another belief system or value system than what I have, you know. I struggle with liberal mindsets. Sorry, I do. But I'm constantly saying, God, let me be compassionate to those that are outside. And I hope they're compassionate toward me, because I'm outside their value system. I'm not saying I embrace their value system. But Jesus came in, and what did he do? He loved and he served. He loved and he served. That's what he chose to do with his life. Because he knew where he came from, he knew where he was going, it was not a big deal for him to lay aside his garment and to get up from the dinner table with his disciples and put on the towel and the basin and wash their feet. Yes, even Judas. He didn't adhere to what Judas was doing, about to do, to how he had allowed Satan to come into his heart and all of these things. But he got up and he said, what do I do with this glorious stuff that I've, that's the Son of Yahweh. And so he chose to serve and he chose to love. He chose to give. He went beyond good intentions. He went beyond good intentions. Be compassionate to foreigners without complaining. In verse 10, he says, every believer has received grace gifts. Every believer. Hey, guys, I go ahead and tell you can come in and you can say, well, I'm not called to do that, and I'm not called to do that, and I'm not gifted to do this, and I'm not gifted to do that. But the word right here just says every believer. So if you're a believer, boom, you just got nailed with it. You got shot with that paint gun of grace, and it splattered on you. You're marked. You're marked by him. He says every believer has received grace gifts. So Peter comes in, he says, so use them to serve one another as faithful stewards of the many-colored tapestry of God's grace. I love this verse. Every believer has received grace gifts, so use them to what? Serve one another as faithful stewards. Use your grace gifts to serve one another as faithful stewards of the many-colored tapestry of God's grace. I love his wording in this. Y'all know what a tapestry is? A tapestry is a cloth that's woven together, that's colored, and it paints a picture and it tells a story. In today's culture, I guess it would be more of a wall hanging. But he said, you're coming in as a faithful steward of the many-colored tapestry of God's grace. So he said, you're coming in as a faithful steward of this history that you have with God. Again, I go back to how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? The thing about this tapestry is not only what picture it shows, but the history that it tells. I remember as a young kid, I've always been kind of a history nerd and just absolutely loved history. I remember as a kid, I read a story, an article on, we used to get National Geographic back when you used to get magazines and all of that stuff and everything. And man, I loved it when those came in. And there was this huge article on the tapestry of the Norman conquest. And it's a tapestry that they did in the 10th century. excuse me, the 11th century, because they did it in the 1000s, in the 11th century. And they came in and they did this tapestry, and it told the history of the Norman conquest in such detail that this tapestry is over 70 meters long. It's 200 and something foot long, Brett. Over 200 and something foot long. And I remember a kid just sitting and looking at all the pictures and just, I'll be honest with you, studying it in detail and looking at all of this and all of the details about what went into this conquest. And you'd see the knights, and you'd see their mighty horses, and them getting on the boats, and then you would see the provisions, and they'd be getting the pigs and chickens and all the little things that went into that. You'd see all of their armor and all of this stuff, and then of course you saw the battle scenes, and it culminated in the Battle of Hastings, which I think was 1066. And I remember it captured my imagination by the history of it, by the detail of it, and by the story that it told. And I want to tell you something, guys. The biggest thing, I'm learning this and I am convinced of this. The biggest grace gift that I have, that God has bestowed upon me, is my history with Him. In ministering to people now, so often when me and Lori wind up find ourselves in a situation where we're ministering to strangers, what arrows come out of our quiver? It's not correct doctrine. It's not trying to tell them that how desperate they are and how much they need Christ and how what big sinners they are and all that. They know that. They know there's a void in their life. But the arrow that always comes out, and the arrow that I see coming out more and more, and you could ask her this privately. We've not discussed this or rehearsed this for this morning by any means. Is always the story of our life with God. The story of our life with God. And we come in and we say, this is the history of our people. This is the history of our family. And this is the history of us as individuals. And this is the way that I live my life is the fabric, as Peter says right here, this tapestry that's being woven together. And what does it look like? It's not mistake-free. It's not error-free. But it's filled within this, he says, what? Of God's grace. The many-colored tapestry of God's grace. And so he said, we've got this thing. Every believer has received grace gifts, so use them to serve one another as faithful stewards of the many-colored tapestry of God's grace. So I've been given this life. I've been entrusted this life to do what? To serve. I don't know about y'all, but I feel ridiculously blessed. If you don't, you're looking at it through the wrong lens, from the wrong perspective. Because we'll say, man, I'm just, you know, I'm just getting by and I'm struggling and I got this and this and this and this. Compare yourself to 90% of planet Earth. I'm just talking from a material standpoint. Then I'll talk from a freedom standpoint. Then I'll look around at our amazing country and I'll look from a resource standpoint and opportunity standpoint. You can be a man like Clarence Thomas and you can grow up and become a Supreme Court justice someday. You can come from seemingly nothing and become something mighty and great and powerful and used. And so I look at this and I'm like, oh my gosh, what is set before us and what has been brought into my life and all of that stuff. And then I come in with the weight of this morning and it's like, what will you do with that? Now, what do we do with that? You say, I've had some hard knocks. Yep. I really don't know anybody that hadn't had some hard knocks. I really don't know anybody that hadn't made some dumb mistakes and some of it self-inflicted. And I really don't know anybody that hadn't been hurt by the world. Hurt by Christians. Hurt by humanity. But a lot of that is the God's grace and His mercy and His love and all, that's part of the many colors in this tapestry. And so we come in and it doesn't define us, but it is the story of our relationship with God and our union with God and how we walk this thing out or how we found God. And so Peter's coming in and he's telling this. He said, we've received those things, so use them to serve. This is the incarnation, guys. Use them to serve. And then he comes in verse 11, and I'm about to close up with this. He says, for example, if you have a speaking gift, speak as though God were speaking His words through you. So, well, you've been arrogant on this and saying that, you know, we're the likeness of God and all of that. You're cheapening the gospel if you say you're not. You're cheapening what He did on Calvary's cross. You're cheapening who the Holy Spirit is living inside of you if you don't. So He said, if you have a speaking gift, speak as though God were speaking His words through you. If you have the gift of serving, do it passionately with the strength God gives you. I love this. Let me finish this. So that in everything, God alone will be glorified through Jesus Christ. I shared this portion of this verse with the worship team before we started. He said, if you have the gift of serving, do it passionately with the strength God gives you. That word strength does not mean vigor. It does not mean stamina. It means to wait. Let me see if I can come up with a... Warren Buffett can cause a ripple effect simply by the way he invests or the things that he says. He has a strength. That is a strength. That is a weight. Because of the significance of who he is and Berkshire Hathaway and all of this stuff. A lot of athletes and a lot of famous people, movie stars and all that, they try to use that as a platform to express their opinion, and that's their a strength. LeBron, people like that try to use that. I'm not saying it's God-given. I'm saying they try to use that. But we have these, listen to me, we have these, this strength, if you will, the weight of our influence. And so God says, through Peter right here, if you have this in your life, then serve with passion through this strength. Passionately do it. Serve and passionately do it through this strength. If He's given you economic strength, do it. Use it. You are blessed for a reason. I'll go back to Margaret Thatcher quote. We've had, the last few years, we've had ridiculous financial favor from Him. Part of it is reserved inheritance that we've seen come in. If you listen to last week, you'll know what I'm talking about on that. And with that, you know what makes me feel amazing, Brett? You sound right, Jags. Sit down right, Jags. And send it to this ministry and this ministry and this ministry and this ministry and this ministry. Because this is going to Honduras and this is going to Uganda. And this is going to this ministry over here. And this is going to this ministry over here. And this is going to the Middle East. And this is going to the Philippines and all of that stuff. So God has given us a strength. So you know what we're going to do? We're using it. We're using it. You know what He does? He gives more. Because He comes in and the Word says that He gives bread to the eater and seed to the sower. And the same thing, I'm not just talking about that area. That is one arena. I encourage you, you try it with the right heart. Not on what I'll get out of this, but God, You've brought this into my life, and now let me try to elevate humanity with it. Use it to help elevate it, to bring glory to You. But God told me something a long time ago, many, many, many years ago, and I believed Him. And I have tried to walk that out and latched on to it. Many years ago, God told me, he said, if you'll be faithful to my house, I'll be faithful to your house. He said, if you'll, I'll tell you exactly what he said. He said, if you take care of my house, I'll take care of your house. You don't want to know why I've been doing this for 30-something years? Because it was a mandate from the Lord. He told Peter, we look in this, and what he told Peter when Jesus prayed for Peter in Luke, I think, I'm not going to say what chapter it is because I'll embarrass myself, but in the Gospel of Luke, you know what he told Luke? He said, Luke, let it be your life's work to strengthen the brethren. Let it be your life's work to strengthen the brethren. He told me, he said, you take care of my house, I'll take care of your house. You know what he's done? He has taken care of my house. With my amazing children, my amazing grandchildren, my amazing relationship with my wife that just gets like richer and richer and more amazing every single year. Without having to come in, it's not laborious. But he comes in right here. And he says, if you have the gift of serving, do it passionately with the strength God gives you. The strength, the weight God gives you. Whatever that looks like. Time. Biggest thing you can do is give of yourself. Sometimes the easiest thing you can do is write a check. It's Lee and Laryl up teaching children's church right now. It's Tammy running the computer back there. We could use some help in that area, guys. We use some help in some areas. We're small, but we still could use some help. It's like Jeffrey being in the back right there. You know what he's doing? He's trying to follow me around with the camera so but somebody can watch this on YouTube someday or watch it on Facebook Live now or however. I don't know how all that stuff works. I listen to podcasts. I'm a simple guy. But that's what we're talking about. You have got a weight. You have got a strength. So he says, if you've got it, then do something with it. Do it passionately with the strength God gives you so that everything God alone will be glorified through Jesus Christ. And it's not so they can say, oh, look out there, Agan, she's so awesome and she's so generous and she's so all of this and everything, right? Nobody's calling me Jaira. You know who they're calling Jaira? Him. Jeff Owen didn't call me up this week and said, thank you, Jaira. I appreciate that donation. You know what he did when he prayed that night? He said, thank you, Yahweh. You're so good to me and you're so faithful. I'm thankful for this man, or I'm thankful for this house. I'm thankful for these people. But he said, you're my provider. So we don't get the glory. He gets the glory. With our lives, we don't. When we tell somebody the tapestry of our life and our life looks like this Norman conquest, and it's 200 and something feet long, and it tells the detailed history of my life, I don't come in and say, well, wait, they're amazing. You know what I'm gonna do? I need to see about this God that makes all of this happen and facilitates all of this. And so Peter's trying to tell these people, how do you live your life? What do you do with your life? Yeah, we celebrate. I gave you three chapters before this talking about how amazing, how God let you kill a deer that you couldn't even pick up a gun on. But now he says, what are you going to do with this? What are you going to do with this? I got several pages of notes here. I'm not going to read them. I might have to close up right now. But I ask myself, and I've been asking myself some questions. Does born again mean that we're guiltless from sin, or does it mean that we have a new nature? His nature. Yes, but more importantly, the second. We are guiltless from sin when we're born again, but we're born into something. That's his nature and his likeness. So I asked myself in light of that, James, just as you were asking yourself questions earlier, I was asking myself questions as I made all these notes and wrote these things down. And I asked myself, I said, how will we love? How do I love? How do I love him? How do I love him? Me and Lori's always had a thing in life that if somebody loves our kids and is good to our kids, you know what? I'm a fan. I'm a fan. If you're good to my kids, I'm a fan. Randy, you and Tim came to a doggone gymnastics meet yesterday just to watch a little girl. That makes my heart full for you. Especially you, Tim. You're new to this. I mean, you just married into all of this crew. Aaliyah's a big nutcracker girl. We used to carry her, and she's made it a tradition. She's carried her daughters. Tiff does the same thing. She's carried her daughters every year to the Nutcracker over at the Fox. Till sadly, they're not doing it at the Fox anymore. It's going somewhere else. But they didn't do it this year because of coronavirus. And Aaliyah's like, my kid's going to have a Nutcracker. And so, you know, to start with, she was going to have like a Nutcracker outside the Fox at Atlanta and, you know, and like eat at the Georgian and do all of this stuff and all. And I think Brett was kind of like, no, it ain't happening. I know we're all packing, but that ain't happening. So she came in and she says, I want to do a Nutcracker for my daughters and for Isabel and one of their other friends that's got a couple daughters and that they do the same thing every year. And so you know what she did? She called Hannah and she called Madeline. And she said, this is what I want to do. And so you've got two. Hannah's a college girl and Madeline's a junior in high school. And they both got a dance background and all of that. And they've done ballet and everything. And she said, this is what I would like to do. I would like for y'all to come in your ballerina things and do a couple, dance to a couple of the Nutcracker songs. And then we're going to do crafts and let the kids make a Nutcracker. And we're going to have, you know, a little, whatever you call the cheese and salami board, charcuterie board or something like that. I'm close. And then I think they were going to watch the Nutcracker and all of this stuff. And you've got two girls that, you know what they did? They said yes. I don't know how much Aaliyah paid them, but I think they'd have done it if she didn't pay them a dime. And they took their Friday night and they spent it with six little girls. And they rehearsed and they practiced. And Hannah was going over to Madeline's house and they were practicing. And Hannah was, I saw her the night before and she was so nervous. She said, I don't want to let Aaliyah down. I'm like, it's all right, baby. It's okay. She said, I just don't want to let Aaliyah down. And I wish Hannah was here because I could say this to her. And y'all please pass this along. You know what y'all were doing? Madeline, y'all weren't doing a friend a favor. Y'all were loving on some little girls with the love of Jesus. That's what y'all were doing. I asked Leah later on. I didn't go. Lori went over, and I didn't go over. And I did see the video of the dance. Y'all did fabulous. And I asked Leah, I said, how did it go? And she said, well, the projector didn't do good, but the kids didn't care. But she said, Madeline and Hannah were great. She said, they stayed all evening with the girls. They did crafts, and they showed them some dance and all of that stuff. And that's exactly what Peter's talking about right here. If you have a gifting in you, if you have a weight in you, they don't They didn't care how y'all danced. They just cared about the fact that you did dance. That'll preach right there. It is preaching right there. They just cared that you did dance. That you showed them. And you spent time with them and helped them do a craft and all that. They did painted little wooden nutcrackers and all. You say, man, I don't have much to offer the world. Yes, you do. Because you know what that was birthed out of? The love of the Father that's in you and the love of the Father that's in y'all's oldest daughter. That was kindness out of that. They didn't have anything to gain out of that. Maybe a small paycheck. They'd do it for that. I worked my time to go and do that. But it's birthed out of the love of the Father. It's birthed out of the tapestry of my history with the Father. So in light of all that we've been blessed with, how do we live our lives? In light of this season, the season of incarnation, how do we live our lives? How will we love? How will we give? How will we give? How will we serve? I always ask myself, am I a consumer or a producer? I think it's a fair spiritual question to ask. Are we consumers or are we producers? Y'all know the difference, don't you? Are we consumers? You say, well, I'm a consumer. I do consume stuff. I do too, but I produce more than I consume. Are you a consumer or a producer in society? Are you a consumer or a producer in church life? Do I just throw on my gear and show up and be like, well, I'm here? Or do you serve? And I'm not talking about jumping on the computer. I'm talking about with prayers. I am talking about jumping on the computer too. I'm talking about prayers. Resources. Faithfulness. That's all God ever asked out of me. God, I don't know how to do any of this. I still don't think I know how to do any of this. He said, that's all right. We're going to walk it out together. We're going to walk it out together. And I feel more blessed and successful from a kingdom standpoint right now. I am not talking about a world standpoint. From a kingdom standpoint right now than I ever have at any point in my life. And it's because this tapestry keeps getting longer. And it's being filled in with more and more detail. I think, Peter, what did he say? The different colors of God's grace. And man, sometimes it's like, God's like, I know you blew it, but you know what? I still love you. And then sometimes it's the, man, let's knock this out of the park together. Let's swing for the fences on this. But this tapestry keeps getting longer and it keeps getting filled in by all the beautiful details of God's grace and God's purpose and God's plan, of God's hidden, reserved inheritance. And it's being revealed to us more and more every day. And I hope it's being revealed to you guys more and more every day. I hope it's being revealed more and more to you guys every day. Need I think about it? And y'all, Gordon came in the shop Monday morning. He's like, dude, and he was out there in the back. He said, that Revelation chapter 2. He said, man, I about jumped out of my skin. He said, that scripture God gave me about the property he gave us. And he started talking about the property that y'all own, that y'all were building a house on. But my mind, I went beyond that. And you know what I was thinking? I was thinking about I think she was here last week, your little granddaughter. I thought so. And my mind didn't go to just a property. Yeah, that's a cool inheritance, and I love that inheritance, and that's a yes and amen and a thank you, God. But a greater inheritance was that little granddaughter that was on your knee. that are run on the property and play in the creek. So we've got this stuff, guys. We've got this amazing life that God's brought into us. And I simply want, I've said all of this morning just to try to undergird the whole message and theme of what our worship was like this morning is, what do we do with this life that we have? Because it is absolutely amazing. But how do we walk it out? How do we love? How do we give? How do we serve? How do we love? How do we give? How do we serve? Jesus said that they'll know that you're my disciples not by how powerful you are, not by how many demons you cast out, not by how many sick people you heal, not by the fact that you've got this amazing new gospel doctrine that's out there. He said they will know that you are my disciples. The one calling card, the way that you can tell the original from the phony, is by the love that you have for one another. That's what he said. For God so loved the world that he gave. That's how they'll know, and that's what's going to separate us. How do we love? How do we love? And when we genuinely love, then we genuinely give. When we genuinely give, we genuinely serve. That's who we are. If we're like the Father, because that's who Jesus was. That's the season of incarnation. Amen? Stand to your feet. I know that wasn't as energetic and as exciting as last week. But Peter gave us last week so he could build into this week. The beauty of the Father is not only did he have great intentions for us, he had great actions for us. He had great love for us. And Jesus said, as I have done, go and do likewise. So that's how I'm going to bless y'all this morning. I'm going to bless y'all. We're not going to have music. We're not going to have altar call or anything like that. I'm just going to simply, I'm going to give you a blessing and a mantle to go and do likewise. Go and do likewise. Go and love just like he did. Go and give just like he did. Go and serve just like he did. And when you do these things, the word says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You won't have to worry about what your life's going to look like, because your life's going to look amazing. Your life's going to look rich. Your life's going to look full. Your life's going to look abundant. And you're going to see the heart that drove that beautiful, sweet young lady to do that this weekend is greater than $50,000 in your bank account. $50,000 is awesome. But it's temporal. That's not. That's what I'm talking about. When we come and we serve and we give and we love, then you know who sees it. And you know who follows behind that doing the same thing. That. Because then it comes from, they killed a deer, to we killed a deer, to I killed a deer. It's not just, this is who my mom and daddy are. Although y'all are kind and gracious and generous and loving and giving and all of those things. You see how this, see how this transfer takes place? It goes from this is who they are to this is who we are to this is who I am. Whew. That's where it's powerful. goes from this is who they are to this is who we are to this is who I am. That's why we have nothing to do but give and love and serve and give and love and serve. And we walk out on the backside of that as the richest people on the planet. I don't know what your bank account looks like. It doesn't matter what it looks like. I don't know what your stock portfolio looks like. But I do know what sitting next to you looks like. It's like that old song I used to sing, you can have the world, just give me Jesus. You can have the world, just give me Jesus. And that's the one thing I have to give the world. Just give them Jesus. And that's found in the tapestry of our lives. So y'all go, y'all be blessed. Y'all be very contemplative in this season. More so than usual. Shane, be contemplative. He says, give yourself to much prayer. And that doesn't mean on your knees in your prayer closet, although that is a good place. But it's not the only place. That's why he says, pray without ceasing. Because we can be contemplative as we work. We can be contemplative as we drive. And we're sitting and we are communing with God as I commune with my wife, as I commune with my children, my grandchildren. So let's be very contemplative in this season of incarnation. And let's be this incarnation, because the world is desperately looking for it. Let's be this incarnation. I love you guys. I hope y'all have an amazing week. We'll be back next Sunday, and we'll just come in and we'll just join together again and worship and love on Him and love on each other. Thank you for your heart concerning Him, your heart concerning this house, concerning us. And it's a joy to do this journey of life together. It really, really is. Lord, you got anything? You good? Awesome. Y'all be blessed. Have an amazing day today.